do that in the car.
Hello, Mike. Hello, John. I'm John. I'm Mike. And this is all yesterday's parties.
But when you're a 2-hour car drive and you sit on your seat and you realise...
You've joined us in the middle. You've joined us in the middle of a discussion about Gordon's undercarriage and how he sat down awkwardly and had to have a quick rearrange. And now John's having absolute fits. So yes, we've got John McLeod, we've got me, Michael McGeeken, and Doctor Matthew Tyra.
Yes, I've been here since last week. Being as it's at the Titanic Brewery, I thought it would be appropriate to cling to a door in freezing ocean whilst forcing Leonardo DiCaprio's head underwater.
Everyone's going to have a hobby. And also Gordon Cashane.
You know the Titanic, the original boat? Was
as opposed to the classic second version.
Would you have described it as a cruise? Was it a cruise?
It was
a transatlantic crossing.
It was a crossing. It was a very large vessel because it took a long time to do that crossing. Yeah. But it wasn't really a cruise insofar as, to me, cruise means kind of either spending a lot of time in the open water or going from place to place. Famous Scientologist.
I was watching Jane McDonald thing yesterday, and I thought,
That Jane McDonald thing.
Yeah, I was thinking, I fancy that, the cruise.
You fancy that Jane McDonald thing,
the cruise. But then I saw it was mostly older people, so I wondered... anyway.
Yeah. We can have a talk about it later.
Yeah.
Do you go cruising?
But for now...
I do not go cruising. I want to put a stop to that rumour right now.
Dogging?
Doesn't everybody?
Anyway...
I haven't got a car.
To get back round to...
Driving you to dogging sites is the worst.
God almighty. To get back round to what we're doing, much like the last two episodes,
yeah,
we're putting together our own music festival, cancelled.
Yeah,
Festival Fest 2018, working title, cancelled.
BT Tower,
next to Matt's house. Yeah. But I think we should probably put on some Titanic beer as well, because
I think we should.
They're local. And also very good. We've got a mouthful of plums like last time.
We're at the Greyhound Inn in Newcastle.
Yep, supping that beautiful Titanic beer. Mm. Oh, so good. But yeah, we've got another round of acts to talk about. Mm. And this time it's going to be Gordon's turn to lead us after this sting.
So I've invited the prog rock band Goblin, known for their soundtrack work, particularly horror films with Dario Argento. I won't speak much, but I will give you some information, so I will speak a bit.
Good.
So I won't give
you're
you
not
the...
You're going to fart it, Ashton.
So the classic... They've had many... iterations of the band over the years, but the classic lineup is Fabio Pignatelli, Claudio Simonetti, and Massimo Morante. And they, well, I don't know what to say without saying it all. they formed their original version pre Goblin back in 1972. They were actually signed with a label called Cinevox, a German label that was known. Actually, that might not be true. I don't know if they were German. They were certainly European. And they were known. Yes.
Well.
And they were known. But they were known for publishing soundtracks.
They were also known for being an arch enemy of Spider-Man.
Cinevox.
No, not
Goblin, the Green Goblin.
Oh, that was a that, sorry,
that was
my
very,
bad.
That yeah. was a
Carry
bad,
on, yeah. ignore that.
Bad effort, Tyra.
Can we lose yeah. that in the edit, please?
No.
Well, in those days they were called.
But my dignity,
Oliver. In those days they were called Oliver.
Oliver.
Yeah, but then when when they were signed to Cinevox, they were asked to change the name to Cherry Five. But they weren't really that keen on it, and they used to still perform live as Oliver. And they spent quite a bit of time in England, as it goes, just doing some live work. But it wasn't until 1975 that, working with the label, they were invited to do a collab with a composer. Collaboration.
Do you mean collab?
Collapse.
Collab.
Collab.
As in, collab is short for collaboration. That's not collab as in... short,
collab.
As in, like, colon.
Anyway. no, not colon.
I worked in that lab.
Oh. And they were asked
it was gross.
Do some work with a composer. who was scoring the film for Profondo Rosso, or indeed Deep Red, as it were, Dario Argento. And early on in the recording, the composer had an argument with Dario Argento and walked out. In which Argento said to the band, "Well, I like your music. It's quite intricate in terms of your melodies and what you do. So you have one night to record, to come up with a composition, and one day to record it." To which they did, and hence we have the soundtrack to Profondo Rosso. As I say, they've had a number of different lineups over the years. They've done many soundtracks to various Argento films. My favourites in particular being Profondo Rosso, Suspiria, Dawn of the Dead. They've also done various other... what's the word?
Film soundtracks.
Music.
Yes. You know, when, like, a concept album. So, yeah. So soundtracks to films that don't exist.
So prog.
Yes.
Yeah. And the most recent incarnation is Claudio Simonetti's Goblin, which is formed because Massimo Morante left the band anyway, and it's actually made up of members of the horror film cover group Demonia, and I saw them actually do a live soundtrack.
This is Gordon pairing back, by the way.
Yeah. This is important. I've seen them tour a few times over the last couple of years, and they do live soundtracks to the film. So for Dawn of the Dead and Suspiria, and they are doing it again in September, if anyone's interested. I am.
That's very interesting, actually. We'll discuss that later.
Yeah, yeah. So the music I shared with you, well, there's such a vast catalogue. So I went for Profondo Rosso, because that was my introduction to them. Great soundtrack. And I did a rather best of, because everybody hates best ofs. But there you go, that's what I did. And you can check out more, because there's loads, and I recommend you do.
Let's skip to the Tyra.
I'd like to read my notes verbatim. Goblin, Suspiria theme, arrow to the right. Prog! Exclamation mark. Profondo Rosso, arrow to the right. Yeah. Horror film sounds, notes end.
That's about right.
Excellent, McLeod.
Yeah.
In a similar manner to Chibi Tech, I kind of felt like there was more to a live show than this, which Gordon has already mentioned.
You're not doing your performance in the style of Chibi Tech.
I'm not. I haven't got a Nintendo to hand.
Can you not just make Wii noises?
Always. but I feel like their show would... kind of similar thing to having a video backdrop of the music accompanying the films that they've soundtracked would be...
That's what they do.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep. So I'm well on board with that. It was an interesting sound.
I'd love to see them doing a live soundtracking.
Mm. Well, you can.
I've seen a few live soundtrackings.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
And you've also been to a sing-along with Wicker Man.
A sing-along
as well.
Version of the Wicker Man, but also a livery soundtracking of... The Passion of Joan of Arc from the 1920s.
Okay.
Which was one of the most intense and horrible things I've ever seen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you used to have the man that came out the floor, didn't you? On the piano.
Are you talking about the guy where the Wurlitzer organ kind of rose out of the floor?
Yeah. They had one.
Not just a man coming out of the floor. That's a whole other thing.
Tend to be a calliope.
Well, I used to go to the Hyde Park Picture House in Leeds, which is an old picture house. And they had the hole where the man would come out the floor, and it was still there, but he didn't really do it anymore.
Phrasing.
He's dead now. He's more got into the floor.
He's dead. He's dead of exhaustion.
It's really sad when they lift.
Slumped over the keys. Really discordant noise.
Yeah. 15 minutes. And then Bucky goes,
they just show suspense films now.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Did you have any further comments, John?
Are you done?
Nothing further to add, Johanna.
Right, well, as it happens, I'm a bit of a fan of Argento. So straight away you said Goblin, I was two thumbs yes. Wonderful, bizarre, prog music.
Exclamation mark.
As many punctuation marks as you can fit in there. Just so many.
How long have we got on the recording?
Joyous. wonderful, glorious, overcooked, overbaked nonsense, and I'm fucking there for it. So I don't care if they were doing a film soundtracking, which I would love that super much.
I'd quite like them to soundtrack films that they haven't originally soundtracked.
Yes!
Yes.
Like Clueless.
I actually watched that the other day.
But soundtracked by Goblin. I mean, yeah.
Avengers, Age of Ultron.
Yes. Well, that'd be absolutely fantastic. Yeah. But
anything by Charlie Chaplin.
I'd be up for it, regardless, though, because they just got a great sound, a great dynamic. Yeah. It's just mad as fish. I love it, so massive. Yeah.
Mad as fish?
Mad as fish.
Yeah. Which fish?
Vermilion.
All fish. Well, yes, him and also regular actual fish.
I mean, I could do a collaboration between Goblin and Fabio Frizzi. Who also did a lot of the 70s Italian horror films, and who I've also seen, who's also very good. But he had his whole orchestra, and that's probably one for something completely different, so I'll stop talking about that. But
Barry wouldn't be able to afford
that. No, he can't afford this.
No.
He can't afford to cancel this. I mean, he's shit, his mum said. Anyway, sting it up, John.
Mr. Dr. Tyra.
Mr. Dr. Tyra.
Can we keep upgrading my title, please?
Mr. Dr. King Tyra.
Our father who are in Tyra. No, that doesn't work. I chose Tom Waits.
Yeah.
Oh, we're doing that one.
And I mean, surely Tom Waits at this stage in his career needs very little introduction whatsoever. Mm. So I'm trying to cut that. Hang on! The one thing I will say is that he and Kathleen Brennan are working their way through his entire catalogue, remastering everything, and transferring it all to vinyl and all that sort of thing. So I asked you guys to listen to the remastering of what I thought was his arguably most chaotic and, I'm loath to say worst produced, but actually the difference between the original and the remaster of Real Gone is incredible. It's such a listenable album now, and so dark and political. I just thought that you should hear it.
And
if we were having that set, he's doing that album in its entirety.
Mm. Cool.
Loved it. I mean, the first Tom Waits album I actually properly listened to was Rain Dogs. And the thing I like about listening to Tom Waits albums is that it feels like it's always sung by about two or three different characters. My favourite song on Real Gone was Don't Go Into the Barn.
And the improvement in that song from the original to the remaster is stunning.
Mm.
The kind of cold coming in where you've got that swell and then just straight in with the...
I always enjoy listening to Tom Waits records that I haven't listened to before. And I haven't listened to this one prior to re-listening to it for this. And now it's really good. Again, there's the variety in songs, there's the variety in sounds, and some are fairly straightforward, and then some get a bit nightmarish. And he just kind of veers from that really intimate, kind of gravelly vocal to, like, standing about 4 metres away from the mic and just bellowing with his hell voice at it.
I know exactly the voice you mean.
Yeah. And this album had a wonderful mix of all the different kind of the different toms that you encounter when you're listening to any Tom Waits album. And
I think, except for his kind of hot, terrifying broken falsetto, which if you've heard,
there's none there. But
Dirt in the Ground from Bone Machine.
But it's even got that there's a couple of tracks that are kind of like spoken word, where it's just odd soundscapes with him talking over them. There's one or two tracks that are that kind of thing. And
Circus, I think, is one of them.
I think so, yeah. But again, much like with most Tom Waits that I haven't encountered before, really in favour of this and would love to see it live.
Mm. I'm in a similar situation to John, that I'd never listened to Real Gone before. But had listened to quite a bit of other bits and bobs of Waits. And yeah, I'm basically echo pretty much everything John said. One other thing I will add in is that from some of the Tom Waits live recordings I listened to, I'd actually be looking forward to some of his wry stage banter.
Oh God, yeah.
Because there's one that it's on the Orphans
on the Bastard side by any chance? Or?
Yes, yeah. The one about the bull penis.
The dog treats.
The dog treats one. Yeah, that is golden.
That's... You want a whale penis? I can get you one.
But it's absolutely hilarious. So I'd be as much there for him being on stage, being Tom Waits, as it would be for the admittedly wonderful, broken, rabble-rousing, rough-as-arsehole's music.
Yes.
So, yeah, absolutely, huge plus.
Yeah.
Just great. Being there for the stage nonsense alone would be marvellous.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah. Gordon.
Is that his real name?
Yes.
Tom Waits.
Yes.
For...
No Man.
Ah. So...
Fair enough.
I haven't listened to much of Tom Waits.
Waits!
And interestingly, the two things that I have heard from him, which I don't know what they are, is very early work and much later work. So,
sorry, that's probably my bad.
I wasn't sure if it was the same person because they sounded like different people. Although it did say Tom
Waits.
Waits.
So I listened to Real Gone, Gong with no...
Just one Gong.
Real Gong.
Actually, that would have been a good band. To
sorry, I accidentally just said the opening music going there.
Without really any knowledge of what it would have sounded like previously. But the remastered version, I can't compare it, but it was incredible. It was just... You know, like when you're on a roller coaster and it's just gone over the tip.
Yeah.
just the tip.
Start at the tip.
You know when you're on a roller coaster and there's a guy just yelling at you in his hell voice in the seat next to you?
Every time.
And that face...
Don't be my wife.
That face you see on, like, 70s TV where someone's, you know, is like going, ooh. And that's kind of how it made me feel.
Larry Grayson.
And straight from the opening, when his voice starts... doing its thing.
When he's just... only going to the top of the hill.
So, yeah, much like what Mike said, I wouldn't be there to listen to specific songs and, oh, I hope he plays this. I'd be there to just experience it and him doing his thing.
That's fair.
Just drink it in.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So you've got a full table of positivity there, Mark. Well done.
Yeah.
Shall we sting up and go to you?
Oh, yeah.
Hello,
where are my John notes?
I have your copious collection of John notes that you've been keeping for years.
I just took one page out of the binder for this. Well, I say the binder. What I actually mean is binder volume 7.
Page 3. This is a band called Cardiacs. So, Tim Smith has been in and out. He's kind of been out of action since 2008 and has recently been the beneficiary of a more than successful GoFundMe campaign to pay for his therapeutic healthcare. If you can contribute to that, please do. So, Cardiacs were a band that started in the very late 70s and were going all the way up until 2008 when Tim Smith suffered a series of strokes. How to describe Cardiacs? No one song does the same thing throughout. Even 3 minute long songs have just got like a whole bunch of different section changes. He's one of the most frenetic and imaginative musicians that I've heard. I really don't know how to describe their music. There's time signature changes. The lyrics are very kind of stream of consciousness. Early Cardiacs works featured an awful lot of saxophone, which I'm really in favour of, and you really miss it when it goes.
Yeah. I miss my saxophone.
I've got a saxophone.
I never had a saxophone. Let's just move on.
The album I picked was On Land and In the Sea, which has some of the most bonkers pieces of music I think I've listened to of Cardiacs so far. And as I said a while ago, one of the wonderful things about the songs on this album is if you put them on in a jukebox in a pub, watching people try to dance along to them is hilarious. Because they just kind of stop doing what you expect them to do and go completely bonkers. So I'm a big fan of Cardiacs. I really hope that Tim Smith is on a road to recovery that sees him finish the album that he was working on in 2008 when he was hospitalised. It would be amazing to see this band again. I don't think it would ever happen, but I've imagined that it might be possible for the purposes of Festival Fest 2018.
Mm. Actually, we're working in a magical reality here where we could put on a music festival in the BT Tower in Matt Tower's back garden.
Exactly. With Tom Waits.
With Tom Waits.
So,
and possibly some dead people. I mean, I'm fairly certain that Gordon mentioned that some of his artists were dead.
Yeah. After some research, most of them are alive. It depends which incarnation you want.
Okay.
How many are you reincarnating? Do we need to have the necromancy again?
In all of the choices, the constant theme has been they're all disposable, so you can just change the lineup.
And so are all people.
And anyway, getting back to business.
So, Mike, what did you think of Cardiacs?
Well, some people achieve Cardiacs and others have Cardiacs thrust upon them. And if you're friends with John for long enough, you definitely fall into the latter category. We've already discussed Cardiacs in a previous episode, specifically one of the first ever releases. Exactly, yeah.
Very early album.
I continue to be very much two thumbs pro Cardiacs.
Yeah.
They are absolutely mad as anything. They have that kind of post-punky, and again, they kind of almost a mathy kind of aspect to them as far as you'll be listening to a series of rhythms and then suddenly it'll go off in another direction and it won't make sense to you the first time, but it may well make sense to you the second time.
Yeah.
It's just kind of a case of clinging on to something and hoping you survive the ride.
Yeah.
And I love that kind of thing. Yeah. For the most part. And yeah, I think a Cardiacs live set would be something else.
Yeah.
You know, to see them putting this stuff together in a live situation. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm. Absolutely, yes, and completely, yes.
Yeah.
Just hopefully, you know, obviously, in a very real world situation, I hope that that Tim manages to get the rehabilitation that he needs.
Yeah.
and makes a full recovery for himself,
yes,
and not for our made up festival.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely, yes. Mm-hmm. Gordon.
I'll refer to my notes.
Good.
Thank you.
So I listened to On Land in the Sea.
Yeah.
I have heard of the Cardiacs, but I have not heard the Cardiacs, which isn't true because...
You're embarrassing yourself, Gordon.
You have played the Cardiacs.
They're not the Cardiacs, they're just Cardiacs.
I see.
you heard the Cardiacs in the cottage in Derbyshire.
They're also not super Cardiacs. They're just regular, regular Nintendo Family Cardiacs,
and not the Cardiac DS.
Yeah,
right. So
we've all embarrassed ourselves a bit today.
I think the best thing to do is if
speak
I say
yourself.
The, just imagine I didn't say it.
Yeah, I'll edit out each
and every one.
Yeah.
So the band I listen to.
Yeah.
Cardiacs.
Yeah.
Oh gosh. I initially thought, oh, there's a bit of a madness feel here with a more punk thing going on. Again, know nothing about them. Sorry for touching you. not inappropriately. Well. Anyway.
And also, audience, sorry for touching you emotionally.
I thought he's his really interesting, distinct voice again, and.
Yeah.
Again, unexpected changes in melody, as Mike has said. Again, wasn't quite sure what's going to happen next. Really enjoyed that aspect of it because, again, keeps me on my toes and makes me want to continuously listen to what comes next. Mm-hmm. I actually thought it sounded a bit like, dare I say, in the nicest possible way, musical theatre. Sort of like there's an intense...
There's something Godwillian about them.
I can imagine it being on like a Broadway well, I don't know, but that type of stage, but with all sorts of lunacy happening.
Yeah, there was an element of like costume and like face makeup that went with them. It kind of lent that kind of atmosphere to what they used to do. So.
Makes a lot of sense. And I've put here as well. There's one particular track, Duck and Roger the Horse.
I love that one,
and it's great, but it sounds It's like the musical interpretation of insanity.
Yeah.
But another thing as well is I thought, well, actually, I can hear sounds from this that have influenced other artists. Let's put it that way. There's certain things that you can hear has been done by later people, which makes me think they've probably listened to this. Not really knowing their history. Yeah. And not really knowing how long they've been going for. I do now. Should I continue talking?
Yes.
I've just put in a bullet point. Think would be good to see live.
Yes.
Particularly if they're doing all of that sort of thing.
Yeah. Excellent. Yeah. Right. Dr. Mr. Reverend Tyra the Third.
Thank you.
Lord our God.
Thank you, Grand Vizier. I find the Cardiacs exhausting. I find that I like songs that do feel changes and time signature changes. I just can't keep up with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I mean, the thing that listening to like Two Bites of the Cherry reminds me of is All Out Superpower Confrontation from Not the 9 o'clock News.
Yeah.
And I don't know why.
Yeah.
But it reminds me of that, but for the sheer quantity of time, feel, and genre changes that occur within a single 3-minute track, I can't process that.
Yeah,
I've been enjoying listening recently to things like Deerhoof, and there was another thing, but it's completely gone from my mind.
I can see where the Deerhoof comparison's coming there.
Because there's lots of
they're very erratic
sudden cuts to completely other feels and time signatures.
Yeah.
I just can't deal with it happening that quickly.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It happens nowhere near as fast with Deerhoof. They're a bit more easygoing and light, but still want to mess with you not.
Yes. And I don't know if that's a representation of the fact that I've not been well all week and consequently... And consequently have struggled with my mental capacity to do things rapidly.
Yeah.
But I really, really felt feel change fatigue.
Yeah.
Quite quickly.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I got. I ran out of notes.
Cool. How would you feel about experiencing that in a live situation?
Right now, that makes me feel tired, and that I want to go and have a nap.
Yeah,
and then come back later. It would depend on what was on the other stages.
Yes,
in all honesty,
and if it was lunch,
and whether I needed to cook, because my experience of festivals involves a lot of just prioritising acts on the basis of when I need to cook dinner for.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Because I like cooking, so that's fine.
I like eating.
Hmm.
I know.
It was like sleeping.
Oh, God, sleep is the best.
It's sleep so underrated.
Yeah. Anyway, drop us a steam, John. Yeah.
So, Dr. Mr. Mike.
Yes.
Whoa. Grand Vizier.
Grand Vizier. Grand Vizier Mike.
Right. I'm going to drop in some Open Mic Eagle on your answers. Open Mic Eagle, right. This is, I actually only discovered his work very recently, in January, because there's a label I've got a couple of things from on Bandcamp, and they just sent a little message out. They apparently do a sale every January where all digital albums are $5. So I was so I had a little look at what was in my wish list. And bought a few things, things that I'd found through the Bandcamp blog and everything. And one of them was Brick Body Kid Still Daydream by Open Mic Eagle. And it blew me away. On the very first listen, it just completely blew my mind wide open. It is absolutely spectacular. Yeah. And it fits perfectly into, because as you well know from previous episodes, I'm putting together from kind of start to close of one day of a festival.
Yeah.
This fits in beautifully in kind of an early evening session.
Yeah.
Something a bit kind of funky, a bit off-kilter, a bit cerebral, but still generally quite up and interesting.
Yeah.
So, and also because the ATP that we went to was lacking somewhat in any kind of hip-hop, that kind of thing. And
it was very post-rock heavy,
yeah,
wasn't it?
And also quite Americana heavy, yeah, and folk. Not to its detriment.
You missed the TV on the radio ATP, which I did was miss much heavier in the hip-hop.
That would have been quite interesting to me, yeah. But also, Safest Mill didn't have much by way of anything hip-hoppy apart from Princess Nokia.
No.
So I definitely wanted at least one very much modern hip-hop act in there. And because that album came out only last year and is amazing. It's very personal and very political at the same time.
Yeah.
Because a lot of it hangs around the demolition of his auntie's building. I believe in Chicago, which is where he grew up, and then generally about kind of growing up in ghettos around the world.
Yeah,
and it is beautiful in parts, hilarious in parts. It's got a great turn of phrase, and also really quite abrasive sometimes as well. You know, like in the Too Long Didn't Read track. It's got kind of a vapor wavy kind of undercurrents with a beat that doesn't quite fit it, and then a very angry sounding rap over the top. It really just pecks in your ears.
Yeah.
Whereas the previous two tracks, one quite soulful, quite sweet, nice little horn section, both much smoother. Every now and then he just likes to pop something in that just grabs your attention, makes you just knocks you a little bit off centre.
Yeah.
Some of the loops that he uses sound almost a little bit Boards of Canada.
Yeah.
So it's beautiful music that's just not quite right somehow, and I love that.
Yeah.
Mm. And his voice, he's equally at home singing in kind of a slight kind of soulful way as he is with rapping, and that all of the disparate things thrown in together just makes me think, yes, this guy, fantastic.
Yeah.
Love to see him on stage. Mm-hmm. Just performing this album, I've listened to a couple of little bits and bobs of his other stuff. Also great stuff. But specifically, I'd like to hear a lot from Brick Body Kid Still Daydream, because it's one of the best rap albums that I've ever heard.
Yeah.
It doesn't give in to pointless skits and nonsense like a lot of other rap albums do. It's start to finish, it's got a concept.
And there's no self-aggrandising.
Very, very little of it.
Yeah.
Very, very little of it. It's about himself, it's about his own experience, but he puts it into a wider context.
Yeah.
I fucking loved it. And want to hear and see more.
Yeah.
Gordon. Well, I didn't make many notes here, which might be a little bit of an issue.
No, that's fine.
That's fine.
Because it caused my battery on my phone to run out.
Excellent.
That's actually on the review sticker for his album.
Yeah, we'll fuck your battery right in.
Mojo 3 stars.
Charge it. I put down here, conceptually wise, it reminds me of Everlast, if you remember Everlast.
I remember Everlast, yeah.
Ford.
He was from House of Pain, wasn't he? Everlast,
he was, he would be, yeah. But he did the album Whitey Ford Sings the Blues with like Jens and What It's Like and that sort of. And for some reason, it just reminded me of that. I don't know. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing.
I'm not as familiar with Everlast output. Otherwise, I don't really know.
That album I thought was good. The rest of it,
give or take.
I would just listen to that album.
Fair enough.
I've just put good. Now,
cool,
excellent, Matt.
But I think what I need to do is make sure that I have a charged phone and listen to it. That's again.
Just generally for
but if for festival purposes, I think it would be
good.
Good.
That's what it says in your notes.
I can see it right there. Bullet point.
good. Just the word good. I like that. We're going to keep it at that. Matt. Right.
I've written that I like it.
Did you write good, though?
No, I didn't. I wrote shit nice. I mean, hip-hop is not something which I have listened to a great deal of, but the amount that I've been listening to has increased over the last few years. And I really enjoyed this album.
You're kind of where I was about 5 years ago, I think. Because about that long ago, I made a deliberate attempt to listen to more.
And remind me how old you are?
Fuck off. Okay. That's how old I am. So, I am fuck off years old.
So when I'm 5 years behind where you were in a listening perspective, is that representative chronologically as well?
It's representative of fuck off.
Good. So I don't have much. I don't really feel like I've got enough listening credentials to give any great wisdom on it, but I really enjoyed it and I want a copy of this album.
Yeah.
Excellent. Good to hear.
That's home recording all kills the music industry.
Sorry?
Home recording.
Thanks.
I think you might mean to buy
a
copy.
I want to buy a copy of the album with my money.
As opposed to cassette tape.
The problem is I would have already bought it, except I went to the UK Board Games Expo. Sorry, the UK Games Expo, which was the most incredible thing and you should all go next year.
But not
and
same
spent
day,
all of my money.
I think we should all
wait till January. They do a sale.
I honestly can't wait that long.
I think we should all That's go to news. The UK Games Expo because that would be hilarious.
Yeah, let's all meet at the UK Games Expo.
Yeah,
but not the same day I'm going because it'd be really annoying.
Gordon, you're going all 3 days. So you've already said that.
We've gone a bit off track, gentlemen. John.
Yeah. I really enjoyed this album. I think there's the kind of the sonic palette that he was going for with each of the tracks. It was consistent.
It's not like blue, white,
yes,
red, and that beige colour that his stomach is.
Yeah. In fact, watch any
sonic palette.
Yes.
Watch any.
I understood.
Gordon should get this on the Sega front.
The look I was giving you wasn't because I didn't understand the joke. It was just.
It was,
please,
will you
stop.
Shut up?
Please stop.
Rings
on it, quieting.
Watch any Bob Ross video and you'll get a wide variety of palettes that could be applied to this record. I'm
going to add a happy little tree.
No, I really enjoyed it. It was consistent without being samey.
Mm-hmm.
Really enjoyed it. As you say, really witty lyricism within what he was talking about throughout the whole record. Some were kind of funnier than the others, but others were a lot more sort of audibly political.
Yeah. The Wasteland Day one.
Yeah,
was,
yeah.
About the Garbage King.
Yeah.
I wonder what that could be about.
I wonder.
I wonder.
It's a really good, cohesive piece of work from start to finish, and it would be great to see this on a live setting.
And I watched a little it's a very, very small live performance.
Yeah.
And he seems just like a really engaging and fun person as well.
Yeah,
just having a little bit of banter with the crowds and kind of just a very warm and witty individual. I did mention actually the other night, Matt, there's one little detail that you would find very interesting.
Oh, you did? I'm excited to find out what this detail is.
He co-hosted an Adventure Time podcast.
Nice.
They had on all the main voice cast and creators, and Nico Case as well, which is... I'm not sure why, but if you're gonna have the opportunity to get Nico Case on a podcast, then just do it. Nico, you're always welcome. And then he later actually appeared in an episode of Adventure Time as well. So
I did not know.
I thought you'd appreciate that.
I do appreciate that. Thank you for sharing that. Actual nugget of awesomeness.
Yeah.
Like that record encapsulates.
Encapsulates.
Collabs.
As opposed to in Montagues.
The recording encapsulates what a witty and innovative and engaging person he is. So
absolutely.
Obviously that's going
to it's
translate
nice to
a live stage.
And it's nice to see that does happen. Because some people are very witty and engaging on record and are dull as dishwater in person. He is not that.
No.
He's a very warm and engaging individual in person and on record.
Yeah.
So, yes, please.
It travels, and I would be well up for seeing that.
Right. Shall we sting and vote?
Oh, yeah, this was the fourth one.
This was the fourth one. Hey.
Bloody hell.
We've got third episode.
Yeah. Crikey. Right. So.
Voting starts with Gordon, I believe.
I do believe it
who,
does.
Who would you go for out of the other three acts?
Probably Matt. As in.
Tom. Absolutely, come see me.
As in Tom
Waits.
Waits, just because. Because of that, really.
Cool, yeah. Cool.
I'm going to go for Open Mike Eagle.
What, am I just chopped liver?
Yes, you're delicious.
Do you want to vote next month?
I mean, we've been doing this, going round in a circle, and I should have been next.
Sorry,
I'm not bitter.
I jumped in far too soon, I'm sorry.
I'm going for Open Mike Eagle as well. And I'm not telling you why, but I just wanted to interrupt John.
Yeah.
Who interrupted you, in fairness?
Yeah.
It's fair, it was a revenge interruption.
We will have a fist fight off air.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well. I'm looking forward to watching that nerdy bout of slapping and t-shirt pulling.
It'll eventually end in making out and just real angry sex.
Everyone will feel very awkward in the beer garden. This leaves me in a tricky situation. Because there's two votes for my act, and obviously I can't vote for my act, and nor would I, because it's just bad form.
Yeah.
Because I really I'm really torn between both. Well, all three of you, to be fair, put up stuff I absolutely loved.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go with Goblin, because especially if it is a live orchestration of a film,
yep.
That would be absolutely brilliant.
They're on the stage.
Although I would so love to see Tom Waits, and I would so love to see Cardiacs.
This is the super delegates all over again.
Oh no! I've split the vote. I'm Jill Stein. I've split the liberal vote here and ruined it for everyone.
Yeah, but you have a more pragmatic stance on vaccines, so nice. It's fine.
Yeah. I've just found a new pocket.
Fucking hell. Anyway.
Whilst Gordon explores his trousers, can I suggest moving to the outro sting?
Well, I've actually just received a text message from Barry just explaining that, yes, it is all cancelled again. He said, soz lads, no money. We've been cancelled. Love lots. Bye. And they put two kisses on the end, which is, that's the worst number of kisses.
So that's not Zoo Zoo.
It might be Zoo Zoo, yes.
Did Gordon vote?
Yeah.
Oh, fine.
He went for Tom Waits.
Tom Waits.
Yes, he did, yes.
Waits.
That's a great listing there, John.
For Nomad.
Yeah. Anyway, let's just skip to the end.
You have been listening to all yesterday's parties, more than I have.
Yes, Jesus Christ, John. Pay attention, you goof.
The music is by Attack of the Vapors, and the podcast is hosted by Audio Boo.
Don't forget to check out the notes on Tumblr.
Yeah.